ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
He kōna e purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Ngā mihi nui. I'm Alison Balance, and welcome to this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ. University of Otago student Joel Sports did a linguistics degree before taking on another degree in science communication. He has a fascinating tale of a talking tui for us.
E koi koi te tui, e kete kete te kaka, e kuku te kereru. Ko Joel Sports tōku ingoa. Whakarongo mai ki tēnei tangata. Have a listen to this guy.
Hello, woof woof. Come up here. Hello, woof woof.
What if I told you that wasn't a guy you were listening to, it was a bird? To be precise, it's a tui called Woof Woof, who lived in the Native Bird Recovery Centre in Whangarei. Robert Webb, who co-founded the centre in 1992 with his wife Robin, was kind enough to talk to me from Whangarei. And you might find when you listen to Robert's voice that it sounds a bit familiar. I started by asking him if he'd ever come across a talking tui before he met Woof Woof.
No, I hadn't heard of one, in modern day times. What I did know was that in some of the old Maori books and legends and that sort of thing, apparently it wasn't unusual for them to have a tui in a cage made like out of rata vines and that. They learned them how to talk.
And how did you come to meet Woof Woof?
Oh, he came in as a little baby. He was about 8 days old when we got him. Fell out of a nest in a huge storm. The nest fell apart and he fell down onto the ground. So we had to hand rear him.
And what was the first time that you heard Woof Woof talking?
I was cleaning in the aviary out there and all of a sudden this voice said, as clear as a bell, hello, Woof Woof. And I thought, what the hell's that? And I thought, oh, it must be somebody joking with me, because at that time, where we've got a little flower garden island with a water feature in it and that sort of thing, that used to be just a big heap of dirt. And I thought, somebody's hiding behind that and did that to me. So I thought, well, if I look at the tui and somebody sticks their head up, the bird will look in that direction. But while I was looking at him and he was looking at me, all of a sudden he turned around and he said it again. So I don't know where he got the word woof woof from.
I asked Robert about the origins of another of Woof Woof's utterances.
Where's the car for refuse? You know, when we'd walk in there, we had a couple of red-crowned, the kakarikis.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of those in there that we were recovering, getting ready to go back out in the wild. So I'd go in there and, hello, kakarikis. So within no time at all, you'd be inside, you'd hear him outside, he'd be saying, hello, kakarikis, because they were right next to him. So he picked up that that's who they were. And then the day come to send the kakarikis back out into the wild, and for about 4 or 5 days after, Woof Woof would ask every day, where are the kakarikis?
Really? So when I've got the recording of him saying, where's the kakarikis? And I presume that you'd taught him to say that.
No, definitely not.
Where's the kakarikis?
So to find out more about how Woof Woof did his talking, I needed to talk to an expert. Dr. Sam Hill has done a PhD at Massey University in song complexity and song variation in songbirds. So he sounded like a good person to talk to. Something I'd heard from various sources was that tui have two voice boxes. Now, a small amount of research shows that's not quite true. They have a thing called a syrinx, which is situated just below where the trachea or windpipe splits into two bronchi. I started by asking Dr. Sam Hill about the difference between a human larynx and a bird's syrinx.
Yeah, so the, interestingly, recent research suggests that the though the larynx and the syrinx are highly morphologically distinct, they actually produce sound in quite similar ways. And it's a system that's called the MEAD system, M-E-A-D. It stands for Myoelastic Aerodynamic Mechanism of Sound Production. So the larynx is made of vocal folds, or what we call vocal cords, and they produce sound by vibrations. When air passes against them, it causes the vocal folds to vibrate, and this is what produces the sound. And they can be lengthened and contracted and made tighter and things like that. That's what produces the different sound. But in the bird syrinx, they lack these vocal folds, lack these vocal cords. And they have a series of membranes, one of which is called the tympanic membrane. And so similarly to the larynx, the sound is produced by air passing against this tympanic membrane, causing vibrations.
Then Sam described the upshot of having the two bronchi coming into the syrinx.
In one half of the syrinx, there could be lots of air being pushed in there, lots of sounds being made in that one. And on the other one, there could be no air being pushed into it at all. And it can actually breathe through one side whilst singing using the other side of the syrinx as well. And the other thing about it is that the syrinx is that it's controlled by a series of muscles. And these muscles control the tautness of the tympanic membrane. And this is another factor that allows it to produce lots of different sounds. And this is, and so its ability to create lots of different sounds at the same time simultaneously is called lateralization of birdsong, or birdsong lateralization.
This music is called Syrinx. It's by Debussy and it's 105 years old. It's not named after a bird's voice box, though. In fact, the bird's syrinx is named after the Greek word for panpipes. I was still curious about how a tui, without the same dimensions of mouth and tongue that we have, could so accurately mimic the vowel sounds of human speech, when it seems like our mouths and tongues are so important in making those sounds. So I spoke with Dr. Hunter Hatfield from Otago University's Linguistics Department. We're sitting in his office looking at his computer screen at a spectrogram of Woof Woof speech. I started by asking Hunter, what is a spectrogram?
It's a representation of sound in, I'd say, three dimensions, really. On one side, you have the timeline, so just how the speech progresses through time. In one dimension, you have the frequency, so what frequencies that's being produced by the bird. And then and the third dimension, the one that sort of comes out at you, the Z-axis, is how loud things are. So basically what you see on there is the frequencies that are loud at different times.
So what we see is three distinct bands of energy at three distinct frequencies. Now, that looks pretty much like what we'd see in the spectrogram of a human voice, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. I was surprised because I haven't looked at bird speech and spectrograms before. But very much so. It looks just like a human would, at least in the vowels. The vowels are the very clear part.
So the mystery is, if we haven't got this lateralization in our vocal apparatus, we've only got one set of vocal cords that can vibrate at one frequency at a time. How do we make those different frequencies?
Well, the secret, I guess, I would say, is really the head, your head on top of your vocal folds. So as vocal cords can do a lot more than people realize. Obviously, they can vibrate, which is ah. You can also be very quiet, which is what you do when you whisper. So that's voiceless. But actually more complex than that, and used in lots of languages, you can make it creaky like this. And you can make it breathy, so it's kind of voiced, kind of breathy at the same time. But none of that's really how you're doing the big bands that we're seeing. Instead, the way you do that is with your tongue and your lips. Whenever you send your vibration, the vibrated air through your head, through your mouth mostly, you can reshape how it resonates inside there, just like you can, just the way that a ukulele sounds different from a piano, from a guitar. You get different resonances as you go.
Right. So is that what is called harmonic frequencies? If you know a bit of acoustics.
I do. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm not asking whether you do.
right. Yeah. So whenever you send your basic pitch, what's called the fundamental frequency, that's what you think of having a high voice or a low voice. So that pitch, say 75 hertz or so, will repeat in harmonics, the scale up. And that provides sort of a big wave of different possible frequencies. And then what you do when you speak is that you move your tongue and your lips around to reshape those. So if I move my tongue quite forward, I'll get one pattern of harmonics that are emphasized and therefore very loud. And if I move it back, I'll get a different set of harmonics. So moving my tongue forward and back and my jaw up and down is how I'm controlling those frequencies. The way I like to think of the bands is really there's sort of three key landmarks. And those are the vowels for us, E, A, and U. And for instance, in, you know, where's the is it Kakariki?
Mm-hmm.
From Woof Woof, he's using A and E, which are really clear to hear. And which with E, that's with your tongue as far front and as far high as it can go. What happens there is you get the biggest possible separation between those frequency bands, between those formants. And that's a really distinct vowel. And almost every language in the world has an E. And with an OO vowel, those formants come really close together. So that's high and back, but they're really close together at the bottom of the range that's possible. And then ah is basically in the middle. They're close together, but in the middle of stuff. That's sort of the shaping of things. And you can see them very clearly with the re vowel in a Wolf-Wolf spectrogram. Those frequencies are completely wide apart, and they're just in the same range I would expect for a human.
Right. But the curious thing is that a tui doesn't have that head shape to make those harmonic frequencies. So presumably it's doing it with its lateralization and making a different formant with a different membrane in its syrinx.
Yes, I think so. Right. So instead of changing... One way to think about what happens with your tongue when you move it front and back is that like your throat functions as one tube, one bit to resonate, and then the rest of your mouth, from your lips back to your throat, functions as a second. So the same way that Woof Woof can have two different frequencies by having, in the larynx, we're having two different harmonics or two different patterns or frequencies with how big and how long those two tubes in our head are. So it's a different way to accomplish the same task.
Like Hunter said, and he did say larynx instead of syrinx there, but the point still stands, two different methods using two different instruments to produce the same sound. But in the case of Woof Woof versus a human voice, there's a bigger difference between the two instruments than between a guitar and a banjo. When we hear a vowel sound, though there are two formant frequencies there, as Hunter was talking about, that's not really what we hear. We imagine a tongue position that the speaker used to make those frequencies, and where we would put our tongues to reproduce that sound. When Woof Woof heard a vowel sound, he would hear the two frequencies and use lateralization in his syrinx, as Sam described, to reproduce them with separate vibrations. Although Woof Woof died in 2011 at the age of 16, there are two other tui who lived in close proximity to him who have picked up many of his phrases. So if you're in the vicinity of Whangarei, head to the Native Bird Recovery Centre and check them out. Robert and Robin would love to have you. Thanks for listening. Ka kite anō.
Kia ora, Joel. That was University of Otago science communication student Joel Sforts. And he was talking to Robert Webb from the Whangarei Native Bird Recovery Centre, who rescued Woof Woof. Massey University's Sam Hill and Hunter Hatfield from the University of Otago's Linguistics Department. I'm Alison Balance. Bye for now. Ma te wa.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.